Hello, and welcome back to the Paranormal Podcast. My name's Dan Pacella, co-founder, lead investigator, Orange County, New York, Paranormal. And I have to tell you, I'm very happy that we're getting this one in just before the deadline. Normally, I record these, you know, about 5 or 6 days before we release them, but I have not had much of a voice the last couple of weeks. So I was very happy to have it recover in time because I didn't want to have to make you all listen to me sounding like Darth Vader and rasping my way through an episode of the podcast. So recording this very much closer to the release date than I like to. I like to have it all squared away by then, but nevertheless, we are back. We are here, and welcome to all of you. For those of you who are new, welcome to the podcast. Those of you who have been with us for a long time, thank you so much for tuning back in. If you are new, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. There is also a video version of this on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel. If you follow either, you can actually not only get every episode of the podcast in either audio or video, but you can also see all of our investigation videos, all of our updates, and a little bit of absolutely everything we are doing from investigations to events and so on. So if you haven't had a chance and you'd like to, please subscribe, follow, and if you're looking at YouTube, ring the bell, because then you'll get notified for every video that we put out, podcast, investigation, and otherwise. So today's episode is about something I've been wanting to talk about for a long time. As any of you who've tuned into the podcast before know, we do talk a lot about credibility and trying to do things the right way and investigating, you know, everybody investigates their own way. So everybody has their own definitions. And basically, because of that, paranormal evidence has always had a credibility issue. Because any kind of paranormal evidence you accept, you're accepting in part because you believe that these things exist and you believe that these things actually happen. And because there's no standard measurement, because there's no standard way of collecting or analyzing, it's pretty much up to you what you choose to find as credible paranormal evidence. And by the way, I mean, everyone who has ever published evidence has been accused of faking it. I get accused of it every group that ever publishes. I'm actually convinced that that's part of the reason why we go to so many locations that have had investigations and there's no published evidence for them. Because it's dealing with that can be a real pain. And it's, you know, someone's always there to accuse. And most of the time, it's without any knowledge or background of where you are, what you were doing, what tools you were using. It's just a, hey, you're faking it, or hey, we don't believe in this, so all of it's fake, or whatever the reason. But for every EVP, there's somebody out there to tell me that was a car driving by. For every shadow, oh, that was someone moving in the shot that I didn't see. And for every light anomaly, oh, that's Photoshopped. And you know, I don't mind constructive conversation, but if you have any experience in the comment section on any online platform, it's seldom constructive in any way, shape, or form. And this happens to everyone, every team that has ever investigated and published. One of my favorites is when I was when we got a comment on one of our Hyde Hall videos, which we volunteer with them, and we help that we facilitate their staff investigations. We do events up there. I'll talk about them a little later, actually. And somebody told us that an EVP was most definitely a car driving by, and sort of insinuated we weren't that smart to be able to not tell that on our own. The funny thing about that is that Hyde Hall is in a place called Glimmerglass State Park, which is not only in the middle of nowhere on the other side of the lake from Cooperstown, New York, but it's also in an area that is closed after 8 o'clock because it's a state park, which means there are no cars driving by, and there are no cars moving within at least a half a mile of that location. So instead of engaging in a conversation of, well, are you sure that wasn't a car? It was, no, you're a faker, you're a liar, and, you know, and so on and so forth. And, you know, that's one example of, I could give you hundreds. Every paranormal investigator could give you hundreds. And, you know, mistakes are one thing. We all make mistakes. Many investigators like myself, we live in fear of publishing mistakes. That's why if it's even remotely questionable, we usually don't publish it at all. But mistakes are one thing, but intent to mislead is another. And I'd be lying, you know, if I didn't acknowledge that that's out there somewhere. But my response to being accused of faking evidence has had to evolve over time. My original response and my go-to has been to folks, you know, what do you think my special effects budget is to be able to fake a light anomaly or fake a mist or fake a shadow? And that's been a pretty good go-to as an answer for many years. However, with the advent of AI and deepfakes and technology that is improving every day, and video editing and telephones and cell phones, faking paranormal evidence is becoming easier. And that's a big problem for all of us. So before we get into the topic of why it's a problem, I think it's important to discuss why anyone would want to fake paranormal evidence. You know, don't we have better things to do? And the answer is yes, but there are so many people out there, investigators, big groups, small groups like us, doing it right. And I know there's many definitions of the word right, but I mean doing it legit. Legitimately going out there with the equipment and publishing what the equipment shows and what we have analyzed and debunked as paranormal. But not everyone's doing it that way. And for some folks out there, and it's unfortunate, but it's true in every form of study, every field, everything. Success in 2024, for a lot of folks, is measured in clicks. And the more outrageous thing you have to show, you have to offer, you have to give them, the more clicks you're going to get. And with those clicks, there are things to be gained by doing that. But I mean, it depends on your goals. If you want clicks, do you want clicks? Do you want to go viral? Do you want to be on television? Because we see that a lot. And as I think we can all see in today's world, going viral does not necessarily mean you're authentic. And exposure, popularity, and the truth, they're not connected in 2024 in America and perhaps all over the world. Not connected. So people make a lot of money by being full of crap. And that's true in every field. So if your goal is exposure, clicks, and clicks, of course, leading to financial benefits, it's becoming easier to fake it. And it's way less work for these people who are in it for the wrong reasons. Again, the minority. But the people who are in it for the wrong reasons, you know, instead of spending thousands of dollars on equipment, instead of spending hundreds of hours scouting in locations, doing investigations, reviewing evidence, publishing evidence, doing events, now it's become easier than ever to make it look like you're getting paranormal evidence when you're not getting anything. And paranormal evidence, which has always had credibility issues, AI used incorrectly in our field could lead to a credibility crisis. What also doesn't help the field is that there have, over the years, been several cases of paranormal TV shows that have been accused of faking evidence. They get it among some other things. Not going to shout out by name here, but we have had locations that we have contacted and locations we have investigated that, because of the paranormal TV shows that were there and the way they behaved when they were there, they don't even want us there. They don't want any paranormal group there. And we've been able to get around some of it, but a lot of times there's a stone wall that goes up. And it's not necessarily because anything was faked, but things get exaggerated. And, You know, and when you're on television, obviously you're doing it for ratings. And again, it goes back to what I said. The more outrageous, the more people watch. And they've been caught, but it doesn't affect their popularity that much. A lot, some of the shows that have had real issues with, and scandals, I should say, with this stayed on the air and stayed popular. And it's because it's entertaining, and people will watch what's entertaining, and we don't necessarily always care what is authentic and what isn't. We do as investigators, and you might as a paranormal enthusiast, but the public at large doesn't always necessarily care whether what they're seeing is real or not. They just want to see a ghost. And that is a problem. And there are folks out there who are dedicated. There are YouTube channels dedicated to calling out groups that publish and fake evidence. And while that sounds like a community service, it really is. It's not. No. The way it's done for the most part is not very productive. They're all over YouTube, but a lot of it seems to stem from personal grudges. And I've said it before, there's a lot of drama, a lot of drama in the paranormal field out there, and still shocked to this day by how much there is. So the main gist of what I'm saying here is that it's becoming easier to fake evidence. The technology is making it so much easier. And what are we supposed to do? Because AI is here. This technology is here. If you've had any experience with AI, through like ChatGPT or through any kind of programs you have, you've seen it. I have a graphic design program now that all I have to do is type in what I want and it will generate a picture of that. And that's both amazing from a graphic design standpoint, a little concerning from a paranormal investigator's point. Because again, this graphic design program is not something that costs $1 million. Anybody can get this. If I can buy it, anybody can. And which means you can instruct it to say, a spirit in the hallway of this, and it will generate a picture of that. And it will generate videos. It can generate voices, EVPs, whispers, shadows, light anomalies. You can use technology to create anything. It's easy, it's cheap, and anyone can do it. And that's really where this becomes a much bigger issue than I even thought when I started thinking about this, because technology is already out there to deal with people who have passed on. It's, believe it or not, there's a whole field called grief tech, and it's already on offer. It's already out there, and it's going to be available. There's a Seance AI is a thing. It's an AI chatbot. It allows you to communicate with your dead relatives. And you could say that, well, doesn't the Phasma Box do the same thing? No, it doesn't, because the Phasma Box puts it out there, but the Phasma Box doesn't generate the response. In theory, the response is generated through the spirits manipulating the sound bars. With a spirit box, it's that white noise that makes it easier for the spirit to communicate with us in theory. So we're asking questions, but we're not controlling the answer. But with AI, there's something controlling the answer. But you're able to ask a question and get an answer back, and it's just not authentic. Amazon's promised that Alexa will soon allow people to read, like, to their grandchildren after they're dead using a digital voice likeness. There's something called Hereafter AI it does voice cloning. It can take a recording of someone who has passed away and create a voice profile off of it, and you can have conversations through your devices with the actual or reasonable facsimile thereof, at least, voice of the person who just passed away. That's amazing. It's also a little scary. And when a paranormal investigator tells you something scary, you can take that to the bank. Because while I could see the applications for some things like that, I can see the applications when it comes to dealing with grief and dealing with closure. I see the power there. There is potential. But this is a paranormal podcast. And if you have all of this technology out there through AI, it can very easily get misconstrued and mixed in with the scientific devices we use to communicate with the dead. So, I mean, if you don't believe in any of this at all, and thank you for listening if you don't, because I don't know what you're doing here, but I appreciate it. But then all of this is like, well, it all generates and it's all this and it's all that. But those of us who have used this technology, have witnessed things like Spirit Box, Phasma Box, Ovilus device, have used these things and see the relevant, intelligent responses you get back. AI just adds a whole new problem and a whole new element, and it's going to lead to a lot of pseudo-science, pseudo-paranormal apps, equipment, and devices that aren't going to give that authentic response. And I guess the real question is, how many people outside of investigators and enthusiasts are really going to care? Now, I'm not sitting here being, you know, Captain Bringdown on all of AI. There's potential for AI to aid in paranormal investigation. It's not there yet from a technology standpoint, but AI simply is just algorithms trained to recognize certain data programs. And if you could feed a lot of paranormal data into a system, an AI system, I could see that technology adapting to become very good at helping to determine, you know, what was a natural noise, what was something outside, what was a light source that maybe we didn't quite understand or didn't see. I could really see the degrees of comprehension of an AI over what our own weaknesses as human beings down the road in terms of an analysis and a debunk type of tool. I think AI could be extremely helpful down the road. But the problem is, we have to understand that we don't know what paranormal is. Paranormal investigators argue all the time over what paranormal is. How are we going to feed a definition into a machine? That's the problem with that. I think there will be ways, but in terms of defining paranormal, in order for AI to work, you have to feed data in to say, this is this, this is this, this is this. Well, nobody can agree. So what is paranormal activity? My definition is probably different from your definition, which is different from the next investigator and enthusiast definition. So I don't think AI will become the tool to help us analyze and understand paranormal evidence better, but I do feel down the road it can evolve to be a tool. And I'm very curious to see what the prominent paranormal technology companies and folks do to incorporate this into the next generation of paranormal equipment that we use, to have AI be more of an analysis tool than actually a communication tool. But before it can be either, it has to have a definition. It has to, because then you'll get inaccuracies, because that's what it does. You tell it what something is, you give it an example of something, and then it tells you whether or not it is what you told, what you gave it, you know, it identifies it. Well, it's going to have about 10,000 definitions for paranormal, because that's how many are out there, probably even more than that. And if you don't manage what you're going to tell an AI system that paranormal activity is, you're going to get a lot of incorrect conclusions. And about not only what we're seeing, but the nature of paranormal activity and what it considers to be paranormal activity. So, yeah, those AI algorithms, as much as they can help, they could just as easily be fabricated to fabricate false or misleading evidence, or, you know, and that, man, that just makes everybody confused. We have a hard enough time as a field being taken seriously by the masses. And throwing something else in and making it AI, something that actually can be controlled, that could cause a real problem. There could be a definitely, if we go too fast into this new technology, there's going to be a paranormal evidence credibility crisis, because we're going to have too much information and not enough time and not enough answers to really know what we're dealing with. And again, that opportunity to fabricate and to And it's to fabricate, but not only just fabricate, but also confuse. Because now we're going to have legit evidence versus fake evidence versus questionable evidence. And who's going to be the judge on that? Who's going to be the judge on that? Paranormal field can't agree on what evidence is amongst ourselves. And then start throwing in really good and really credible fake evidence in there. And it's going to be a real problem for everyone who does this. So again, it's like everything in life. It's a double-edged sword. I am excited about the potential that AI can have in terms of helping with paranormal research and helping us to be able to sense and understand some things that are just beyond our own senses, and to analyze recordings, and you know, and maybe down the road AI algorithms will be able to be trained to identify an EVP or identify what a light anomaly is. And, you know, maybe down the road that's possible if we get those kind of things have a little bit better chance of having a strict definition than an apparition or a mist or a lot of the other things do. AI, it can help us interpret our findings, and it can lead to new discoveries if it's used correctly. And like, you know, like everything in life, right? In the wrong hands, you could do some real damage with anything new to any field, including the paranormal. But man, those limitations are what scare me about this whole thing. Like, you know, the potential's there. The potential is there. You know, but we have to, like, with all great technology, with all great advancements, we have to understand the limitations, and we have to understand why we have to sort of take our time and step by step. We have to, you know, crawl before you walk. You have to walk before you run. And what it comes down to is, until we get definitions a little bit more straightened out as a field on what is paranormal, what is an EVP, what is a light anomaly, what is a mist anomaly, what is a spirit box voice, what is the phasma box voice, what is just reverb, what is the obulus actually doing, until we can actually get basically dictionary definitions of what is and what isn't, it's not going to be overly helpful in investigating. And good luck, as I've said several times, good luck getting those definitions, because nobody can agree. I mean, nobody can agree on anything in any field, let alone the paranormal. But in paranormal research, a lot of it's subjective. A lot of it is experience. A lot of it is stuff that's difficult to quantify. And you can't have the investigation experience without the actual experience. And now I understand, you know, the way we investigate, it's the evidence is purely based on equipment. But you can't, there has to be a feel element to it. And if AI can start to feel, that's a whole other episode of a podcast. And at the end of the day, no matter what we do, AI is still not going to be advanced enough to fully understand and interpret the underlying causes of and mechanisms behind this. Like, how do you get a computer to understand what we think paranormal activity is? What is paranormal activity? There's hundreds of different kinds of spirits. And again, it's hard to do that. So I feel, in my opinion, personally, as with most technology that is new, as we stand right now with the tech, it is currently poised to do more harm than good. So what are we supposed to do? I've been spouting doom and gloom here for 20 minutes about this potential paranormal evidence credibility crisis. I know, and you know, I know I don't fake evidence, but how do you know I don't fake evidence? How does anyone know that I don't fake evidence? And really, that leads to what we have to do here. It's up to you. It's up to you to decide what to believe, to decide what is credible for you. There are ways you can do that, and the vast majority of paranormal content is actually online. The TV shows are their own thing, But when I'm talking about what I'm seeing online, that's where the fakery will happen the most, because that's where the clicks matter. And that's where folks who are trying to be on TV or try to gain notoriety, gain fame, gain money, that's what they're trying to do. So if you're curious as to, you know, maybe how to avoid some of that, and, you know, think about some things when you're watching paranormal content, including our videos, you know, consider the source. Consider who's talking to you, considering, you know, who, not necessarily who they are, but what is their other content? Are they video game blogger, hiker, paranormal investigator, unboxer? Like, is this just, are they focused on this one thing, or are they just out for all the clicks? Consider the source. Watch out for some things. Personally, I will not watch a paranormal video that is in all capital letters. It's a pet peeve. I'm not saying that it's not legit evidence. It's just a pet peeve of mine. That is clickbait. I will not watch it. And plus titles like Most Haunted Ever or Demonic Possession or Terrifying Night at Blank. I stay away from those. I do personally. That might be your cup of tea. I don't. For me, like, I want someone to click on the video because they're interested in the location and they're interested in the paranormal. And the real thing to look for in any video, ours included, is there an attempt in the video to explain the phenomenon? Is there an attempt to debunk the phenomenon? Is there an attempt to link the phenomenon to the location, to the history, and to basically the area at large or the investigation as a whole? That's really it. Like, you know, if you're going to, somebody who's going to go through the process of faking something through AI or through Photoshop, that's the step they're going to mess up on. So that's definitely what to watch. And it's sad because it's not enough now just to watch paranormal content, just as it's not enough now to watch anything. It's not enough now just to watch the news. It's not enough now just to watch anything online or on television or read an article. We have to think about what we're seeing. We have to think about what we're reading. We have to think about what we're watching. And in the end, we have to decide for ourselves, and you have to decide for yourself, what is real paranormal evidence, what is not real paranormal evidence, or what is questionable paranormal evidence. And ask questions. When you watch these videos, ask questions constructively. Don't do the whole, how's a car driving by? If you have a question or you have a comment and you want to ask, ask questions, because the legit folks that are online doing it the authentic way, they'll have an answer, and they'll very likely be respectful with that answer. Just remember, the march of technological progress, it only knows one direction. That's forward. And the tech's going to get better and better, and it's going to get harder and harder to discern what is real and what isn't. We all been fooled by a deep fake at one point or another. Let's be honest. I have. I mean, maybe I'm just showing my age, but I have. But as investigators, we do have a responsibility to hold our own selves accountable. We can't just go around accusing each other. There's too much of that already. Accusing each other of things. When it comes to, the call has to come from inside the house. You have to self-police you. I have to self-police me. My organization has to self-police itself. And we do a great job of that because we do have conversations about, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. That's what you need. You have to self-police. And you know what? And not enough folks do it, but I think it's going to become more and more important as we go forward. You have to be willing to throw out a good clip or a really awesome thing because there's any question at all as to whether it could be or not. And, you know, that's what you have to do, because we might get to a point now where the fake stuff is actually better looking than the authentic stuff. And that'll at least be one tell, right? Because our equipment, you know, the stuff we use, it's still 4K, 1080p, it's all the high def stuff. But, you know, when night vision looks a little too clear, maybe that'll be when we all know. But at the end of the day, if we do what we need to do as investigators to make sure everything we're putting out there is not only authentic, but well explained, well researched, and we do our due diligence when it comes to debunking, and you as a paranormal audience do your due diligence in watching what you watch, but questioning it along the way and saying, well, is that really that? Is that really that? Okay, I buy that. Okay, that seems a little unusual. As long as we continue to question and we continue to hold ourselves accountable, we won't have the crisis that I'm talking about being such a huge thing. But the only way to fight it is to question and understand and decide for ourselves what's credible. And it's not always easy, but it's the only way that we're not going to have an even bigger problem with the credibility of paranormal evidence, with the tech that is not on the way, with the tech that's already here. Speaking of tech, it's one of my favorite times of year because I always kind of go equipment shopping at the beginning of a new year just to get some new things for. I used to call investigation season for us. I really don't anymore because we investigate like all year now. I'm not used to being cold while investigating. I love it. Usually we're too hot, but it's nice to be too cold too. At least one investigation in February, which is great, but could have two. If not two in February, we'll have another one in March. And we're going to try out some new equipment, going to try out some new things. So I'm looking forward to that. Always do. And as far as updates go, the only thing I have in terms of events is the October event that we do every year in Hyde Hall this year on October 12th is actually live. The tickets are live on Hyde Hall's site. I'll put that link in the description. They start early over there. And as I mentioned before, it's a state park and it's a state-run thing, which is why they have to run it so early. You might say, Dan, it's February. Why are there tickets on sale for October? That's why. That calendar has to be done way in advance. But I will tell you something. It is February 7th. Those tickets are live. I will be shocked if by March 7th there are any left. They go very fast. So if you are in the Cooperstown, New York area, or you're going to be, follow that link. Go. It's not an expensive event. All the proceeds go toward Hyde Hall, and we have fun with that event every year, and it's a blast. So if you're in that area, we look forward to seeing you there in a couple months. get the tickets now. Don't wait, because every year October comes around and people reach out to us. Why aren't there any left? Well, we told you they went on sale. There are links on our Facebook page, too, for that, along with the link I'll put in the description. So we covered a lot in today's episode, and the march of technology, you know, continues. And we as investigators, we have to march in lockstep with it and understand that we cannot stop it. We have to be open to change while also understanding the dangers that can come from untried new technology. And as with everything, in the wrong hands, it can be put to, you know, ill-gotten use. But if we adapt, our methodologies adapt. How we watch and experience the paranormal has to adapt too. As in this world today, it's, you know, it's not enough just to watch. You have to analyze and finally decide for yourself and for ourselves what something is and what something isn't. It's not the ideal evolution, but it is a part of our world, and that part of our world is becoming more normal. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time on the Paranormal Podcast.